You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. During the height of shipping on the Great Lakes, thousands of vessels carried passengers and goods to Wisconsin's port cities. But the dangerous waters also sank hundreds of ships in Lake Michigan, and many of their wrecks remain remarkably well-preserved.
A proposal from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration would create a marine sanctuary on Lake Michigan covering about 1,000 square miles. It would help protect dozens of shipwrecks and also make it easier for the public to learn about their history.
Matt Cotto is the education program coordinator for the Wisconsin Maritime Museum in Manitowoc. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, tell us about the area that would be covered by this proposed marine sanctuary. Where would this be?
So it's on the shores of Lake Michigan. It's roughly a little bit larger than 1,000 square miles from two rivers, Algoma to the north of where I am in Manitowoc, and down to Mequon in the Port Washington area.
And what's down there?
What we've got are some of the best preserved shipwrecks really in the world, and that has to do a lot with the geography and the conditions of the lake, and of course, why we were using the lake in the past. But these shipwrecks really tell a great story of how we've come together in this region as a people. A number of these wrecks are on the National Register of Historic Places because they play an important role in the nation's story as well, not just the regional story. So some really valuable cultural artifacts that are down there that we can use to enlighten not just students, but learners of all ages as to how we came together and the development of this area.
I know there's still shipping on the Great Lakes, but in this age of planes, trains, and automobiles, it's easy to forget how important the Great Lakes were as this transit system, carrying stuff. Can you talk about the economic role, the way these things were highways?
Absolutely. So, you know, in the 1800s, the easiest way to get, and really the most efficient way to get into the Great Lakes region, to get into the Midwest and settle Wisconsin and beyond, was to move through the lakes. Of course, the road systems and things were not intact, so we were moving people, immigrants who were seeking freedom from religious oppression and conflict over in Europe, as well as moving the goods back and forth to settle this area, as well as to make things in the Northeast and the East Coast move a little more smoothly as well, moving coal, lumber, grain, those sorts of things. And as you mentioned, it's still a really big thing today. You know, at its peak, we're talking a few thousand sailing vessels on the Great Lakes. So a lot of them out there, good chance for wrecks and things like that. And we've learned from that. And shipping today is still equally important. I think it was just yesterday that the Army Corps of Engineers announced another record load to go through the Sioux Locks this year, at a little over 75,000 tons. That's the equivalent of about 2,900 semi-trucks that were taking off the road to move this stuff. So it's still incredibly efficient. I think people today forget that this is still going on, and it's incredibly important to keep our economy moving.
And one great thing is we don't hear about shipwrecks all the time now, but can you talk about that element of risk and danger? I mean, looking at a shipwreck map of Lake Michigan, there were a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a ton of them, and a lot of that has to do, again, with the geography of the area. If we think about how the Great Lakes were formed and the glaciers kind of moving through, creating these depressions, you have rocky shoals within Lake Michigan that can cause problems. And, of course, we're talking about a time in wooden sailing ships where we don't have the best navigational maps. We haven't explored these waters, so the dangers of the waters during this period were incredibly unknown. And when you mix to that, everybody knows the Gordon Lightfoot song about the Edmund Fitzgerald, right? The gales of November. Wicked storms can kick up here out of nowhere. So it's very, very treacherous for these boats back then. It's still pretty treacherous today. And when you think about the fact that there weren't a whole lot of regulations at that time in terms of how to safely navigate, to safely load ships and those kind of things, the dangers certainly were higher back then.
As I understand it, some of these shipwrecks are remarkably intact. Masts, in some cases, still sticking up. Hulls, not even necessarily breached. Can you talk about what we find down there when we go diving?
So what we find are really great opportunities to understand some of the shipbuilding that was taking place in the area, different techniques from different parts of the Great Lakes that we can explore. And we can really, again, like I was saying earlier, piece together the stories of how we came together as a people. A lot of these wrecks, as you can imagine, as we find them and begin the not only underwater investigation, but on land investigation through the historical records, can learn lessons, again, that we can apply today, I think. One of the stories that we like to tell here at the museum when we have school kids come through is the story of the Phoenix, which caught on fire on its way to Sheboygan. It had a number of Dutch immigrants who were seeking religious freedom. And this was one of those times, again, no real regulations, a fire caught, and a number of lives were lost. Everybody who was on board, every family that was on board, lost somebody, not no family was completely wiped out, I should say. But in some cases, you had children as young as third, fourth grade age who were now in a new world and alone and kind of on their own, needing to rely on the people of Sheboygan to really bring them in and help them create a life in the new world after that tragedy. That's not terribly different than things we see elsewhere in the world today when we talk about migration, particularly in the Mediterranean, is one that kids often bring up as a good parallel.
We're talking to Matt Cotto from the Wisconsin Maritime Museum in Manitowoc, looking at a proposed maritime reserve that would cover a lot of shipwrecks in Lake Michigan off the Wisconsin shores. And Matt, what would this preserve mean? What would change if this comes into being?
What's going to change, and particularly from the museum's point of view, is additional collaboration. We're a nonprofit 501c3. We rely heavily on collaboration to help not just the folks of Manitowoc and Northeast Wisconsin access this stuff, but we are the Wisconsin Maritime Museum. So we want to bring this information to the people of the state, the region, the nation, and the world. And, of course, that can be a difficult thing to do without this type of collaboration. So working with NOAA, working with the communities up and down the shoreline, and that's what's really great about this process. It's been community-driven and kind of a bottom-up process here, saying, hey, we all can leverage this and use this to improve our communities, the economy, the tourism, and the educational value that we're putting out. So bringing this together gives us additional opportunities to engage people with the content. And we've already started to do that a little bit. We brought up the Skyline Princess and started doing riverboat tours and taking people out into the sanctuary to talk about these wrecks. NOAA was up recently here for a couple of weeks at our museum to go out and do some lake bed mapping, which, of course, helps find potential wrecks because not all of the ones that we know are in this area have been found. But we can also then talk about some additional science. This is all sort of interrelated, which is the fun thing about maritime education. We're not just maritime history. Everything, it's interdisciplinary. It's all interconnected. So we've had students out, teachers out, who explore these. We had an ROV camp this summer where we were able to allow middle school students to operate a professional ROV and on the wreck, the Francis Hinton. And all of our campers were able to make visual contact with this wreck and this ROV, and you could see the gears turning and the inspiration really taking hold in these kids and understanding that there's some value here and potentially some career opportunity here as well.
ROV, remote operated vehicle, vessel?
Vehicle, correct, yes.
Okay, so these kids are getting to steer a water drone, basically, to look at these shipwrecks?
Exactly, exactly. And then, of course, that's part of, as I mentioned, it's a camp. So these kids spend a day and a half also working on the electrical engineering side of it, the buoyancy and the physics side of it, learning all of that, and also developing their own smaller ROVs that they get to then test out on land in a pool that we use as well. So it's really this interdisciplinary kind of thing that I was mentioning earlier. There's just so much that can be done with it.
Are there any questions about preservation of these shipwrecks? What kind of things are going on?
Yeah, the preservation, the Wisconsin Historical Society and NOAA, you know, they intend to co-manage this together, the state and the federal government. The efforts there really are going to be, you know, making sure people ideally aren't mooring directly to the shipwrecks to make sure that they're not damaged, the insertion of mooring buoys so they're accessible to the public who want to go out there and be able to dive on it. But in terms of preservation, you know, the law currently stands as, you know, anything that's on a shipwreck, it's these are all state lands, the lake bottom. So they're all artifacts and property of the state of Wisconsin. Now all the stuff has to be left there. Preservation, the fresh water, the cold fresh water, does a pretty good job there as well. So it's about access and interpretation, really. The maritime archaeologist Tammy Thompson and Caitlin Zant over at the Wisconsin Historical Society kind of handle the other side of that.
And I understand zebra mussels are maybe a threat to some of these shipwrecks.
They are certainly, it's a double-edged sword there, right? Zebra mussels aren't really the problem anymore. Quagga mussels have kind of taken over, very similar kind of invasive species, which is great that we bring that up because that's very connected to the use of the lakes and shipping and how we've opened up lock systems to the ocean. So it's a double-edged sword because certainly they are encrusting themselves on these wrecks. It can make it harder to explore and study. But at the same time, these mussels, what they do is filter the lake water, making it significantly clearer than it has been, making it a little easier for divers to get down there and do their site mapping and discover these wrecks and explore them a little as well. So again, like I said, a double-edged sword with the mussels.
As we wrap up, Matt, what is the timeline? When could this preserve become a reality?
Everything is on track. The public comment is closed. NOAA is currently finishing up the final management plan based on public comment. And I think everybody's hoping that sometime early next year, ideally, we should hopefully have an announcement. I think that's everybody's hopes. And, you know, we'll see how things play out. There's certainly plenty of things in government that can delay these types of processes, but there's a lot of support here in the communities, and we're all very confident that it'll be moving forward next year.
Matt, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, thank you, Rob.
That was Matt Cotto, Education Program Coordinator for the Wisconsin Maritime Museum in Manitowoc. He joined us for a look at shipwrecks on the Great Lakes and a proposed marine sanctuary in Lake Michigan that would help preserve their history.